Check. Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Good Tuesday afternoon, everybody. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass, and we're ready to go for the next 4 hours. That's what we do from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, usually. Not this week. Just Monday through Wednesday this week.
Hump day?
So that makes today hump day. How about that? We'll get you through it. I know many of you are in the same situation. It'll be a fun day. It's a beautiful day outside to be driving around, running some errands, getting some groceries together for Thanksgiving, and listening to us for the next 4 hours.
Last-minute turkey. Did prices go up at the end?
I was going to say, if you don't have your turkey by today, you're probably okay. Turkeys are pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
In one form or another. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Follow me at Twitter, at CraigESPN. Pete Shepherd is at PSHEP326. And you can follow the station at 99.3ESPN. Don't forget to download our app for free as well. Coming up on the show today, it's Tuesday, so we got a lot of fun stuff. We got Red Alert Tuesday. We have Master Pete Theater. Have you picked your selection yet?
I have it down to a couple. I have not decided yet which one, but I will.
All right. Even as the show is going on, Pete Shepherd multitasking. Yes. At 4:30, I'm excited about this. We're going to be joined by Matt Elliott, former All-American offensive lineman for Michigan, going back to the Bo Schembechler days. Played in the NFL. We'll talk a little Michigan, Ohio State. I heard there's a big game this weekend.
But more importantly, you grew up with this guy. He was your neighbor since second grade. Yeah. I don't care about Michigan, Ohio State. I want to hear the dirt stories of you getting into trouble or the mischievous Craig Sheeman, the side of Craig Sheeman that occasionally surfaces on this program. But I need to know more.
I don't think he's got a lot of dirt on me.
We'll see.
We were in different grades. He was like, I've known since he was in second. I was in third. So we'll have him. He was a tiny little kid back then in second grade and just grew up into to be this huge NFL player. It's a great story. And I haven't talked to him in a while. So I'm looking forward to this convo. We'll have it at 4:30 today and get his thoughts on Ohio State, Michigan, and whatever else Pete can dig up. So we'll have all of that on the show today. If you would like to participate, the number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the greatness known as Lamar Jackson. That was quite the display last night on Monday Night Football. The Rams are dead, and Lamar is just getting better leaps and bounds with each and every week.
That game was over last night in the first drive. Now, I will say this. He got popped a couple times. I wince every time he gets hit because I'm like, geez. But my God, I mean, think about last night that the only negative rushing yards they had were the three kneel downs by RG3 at the end. That's it.
Pete, he is already the 50th leading rusher all time of quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
I have a bunch of stats here, and they all start with this. He became the first to do this. He became the first to do that. We'll get into all of them. It really was amazing. And, man, you talk about a team psychologically damaged since the Super Bowl. And we always know, we talk about it all the time, how difficult it is to sometimes just get back to the playoffs, forget the Super Bowl. But that Rams team has not been the same since the Super Bowl. And Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator and whatever it was didn't work. And then, of course, you have Weddle. And I agree, you don't know where the ball is.
No.
You do not know where the ball is. And it's you know, Jackson is brilliant enough, but, man, that offensive line is just playing out of its mind right now. Ingram is just as powerful and dangerous as – you don't know which one of them has every play when you don't know who has the ball. You just don't know.
Here's what amazes me with Lamar Jackson. Look, we've seen players come and go into the league. We've seen the length of their careers. We know that a lot of times at high-profile positions like quarterback, maybe they're not so good at the beginning, and then the good ones quickly develop, and then they become something. Some are mediocre, some are great. Everybody has their different path. I don't recall a player that has improved as much, as quickly as Lamar Jackson. I still remember the playoff game last year. He was a one-dimensional version of Michael Vick last year, and now he's becoming Patrick Mahomes on top of it before our very eyes, throwing 5 touchdown passes last night.
If we're honest about it, they bring it up all the time. He should have been benched in that playoff game. They should have brought Flacco in a lot earlier. You would never know it. Night and day. And a big part of that, I think, thanks Rex Ryan, he fired Greg Roman. He's the offensive coordinator now, and he saw a feature on him last night. You should have, anyway, Monday Night Football. They showed him a lot. He is a big part, and obviously Harbaugh, too, for believing in this, I won't even call it system, in the player, because everybody has a system. It's just believing in the style that they play. Rex Ryan fired Greg Roman 2 games into the 2016 season. Remember this, kids? The Bills scored 31 points. This offense coordinator. This is after the Bills scored 31 points in a loss where Rex Ryan's defense had given up 375 passing yards and 493 yards total to Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jets.
Well, I've got some comments, some more from what I saw last night, what I've been seeing going on in Baltimore, among some other headline news, including Jerry Jones still kind of doubling down anti-Jason Garrett. We'll get to all of that. But first, before we get too late, it is 7 minutes past the hour. Here's Chris. It's time for a SportsCenter rundown.
All right. Slow sports day, so I got to say it again. Lamar Jackson lit it up on Monday Night Football. 5 passing touchdowns. The Ravens beat the Rams 45-6. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin announced today that Devlin Duck Hodges is going to start for the Steelers this weekend against the Browns. Duck was brought in last week after Mason Rudolph was benched for poor play. And FGCU men's basketball back in action tonight. They host Florida Tech. 7 o'clock at Alico Arena.
All right, they need a win. Okay.
They got one.
Well, yeah, they got one. What are they, 1-4?
One and five, I believe.
Yeah.
They beat FAU last week.
Oh, did they?
I think so, yeah.
That was a road game.
Yeah.
That was overtime, right?
Good for them.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's their best win of the year.
Well, yeah, it is. going back to the Ravens thing here, let's also not forget, 2 seasons ago, they toyed with firing John Harbaugh, but I think he had some goodwill in the bank, having won a Super Bowl and all that. So they're like, all right, let's run. And again, I think they considered firing him again last year. And they pretty much all admitted they decided to take a flyer on Lamar Jackson, who was still sitting there at 32, and it was their time to pick. Nobody could have predicted that this would happen. It still felt like it was the end for John Harbaugh, moving on from Flacco. They're going to take a rookie quarterback that's going to take some time to develop. Man, they have struck gold, lightning in a bottle, whatever you want to say. And John Harbaugh may be the coach of the Ravens for another 10 years.
Well, maybe. And to your point, and to me, so many people really blew it, including my Patriots, who I really thought would take him. Because there were rumors. We were doing the draft a couple of years ago, and I said, man, he's slipping. He's going to be there. Grab him. And the only reason, you still remember that game on Friday night, senior year, before I moved down here, he's playing Syracuse, and he scored, I don't know, 15 touchdowns?
I think it was 7, but massive.
He was hurtling over Orangeman left and right. It was unbelievable. I just said, man, this kid is going to be a stud. And, yeah, we maybe take time to develop his arm and everything. And you know, he said last year, he even admitted it. He's like, the college football is just different than the NFL football. It took him a little while to get used to it. Man, he's used to it. And it's kudos to him. And really bad for all these other teams that passed on him, because this wasn't like some throwaway guy in college. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh,
go
man.
Ahead, Chris. What were you saying?
Going back to the Harbaugh thing, remember, Ozzie Newsome was leaving last year.
This was his last first pick.
Moving, yeah. I should say.
Yeah.
Still with the team in some capacity, but not in the GM role. So it would have been easy to move on from him. And to Lamar Jackson in college, I have a tough time thinking that being the most athletic dude on the field in college is ever going to translate to the pros. I don't care if it's quarterback, wide receiver, defensive end. Raw athleticism on a field full of athletic freaks It's just difficult to stand out. There have been very few guys in the history of the league that get by on that athleticism.
Yeah.
And most of the time we see him on the outside, right? A guy like Deion, right? Who's just, you just look at him, you go, okay, that dude's a little bit different the way he does things.
Right.
Michael Vick was the guy in my lifetime where you just looked at him and you said, he does things that other guys can't do.
Right.
I don't care of the position. Other humans can't make the moves, make the cuts that this guy makes at the speed. Lamar Jackson is quickly putting himself in that discussion.
Oh, he clearly is. I love your point that he's like on a field of 22 athletes, he is standing out week in and week in. He's the best athlete on the field. You know, I remember back when Michael Vick came out, and I was very critical of him, and I still think I'm right. I mean, he was different than everybody else. You could see all that athletic talent, but you knew he was a square peg trying to go in a round hole trying to play quarterback. But the position has changed now, today, in 2019, and Lamar Jackson's just taking this thing to a whole nother level now.
Here's the difference, and to me, it's glaring. If Michael Vick were playing today under Harbaugh and the way the offensive coordinator, Rowan, right, that was fired by Rex Ryan, if he would have been totally different than he was in Atlanta.
Would Vick have been able to uphold physically?
Yes.
Vick was thinner and got hurt about a lot.
But here's the thing. They are designing these plays for Lamar Jackson to do his
run
thing.
Run out of bounds if he has to.
Michael's thing was he just kind of improvised as he went. I mean, they had a couple of plays designed where he was running. But back then, when he took off, and I thought they weren't scheduled. You know what I'm saying? They weren't scheduled scrambles.
Yeah.
I think if he played under Harbaugh right now, things might be a little bit different because they believe in exactly what they're doing. They don't give a damn. They don't care. Now, personally, I hope I'm wrong. Someone's going to go at him. Someone's going to take a cheap shot at him or just in the standard pounding that he has taken. And and make no mistake, he's getting popped a few times. Yeah, not so much where he's going to get knocked out of the game yet. But it might take its toll towards the last 5 weeks of the season.
Look,
and against San Francisco next week. I'm just saying I don't want to see the guy. I don't want to see him get hurt. I want to see him get healthy right through the playoffs, maybe even the Super Bowl, and see what happens.
Vic got hurt a lot. He took shots. His ribs and his shoulder. I mean, Vic took a beating. And I think Lamar Jackson's a little thicker and can handle it for a little while longer. But you can't handle. He's gonna be Cam Newton if he keeps this up. But the question is when. Is it going to happen sooner or later? But it will happen.
But even Cam Newton, and I get it, but Cam Newton is not playing under coaches that want him to do what he's doing, you know, want him to run.
Yeah.
They are designing. These are designed plays for Lamar Jackson. And then you try to, as Weddle was saying, and he's right, you don't know if he's got the ball, you don't know if Ingram's got the ball, and then you try to outguess him, and all of a sudden Lamar still has the ball and then throws it to wide-open people.
And it's weird to me because typically the NFL will catch up to you. If you're new, you got some ability, usually by the halfway point of the season, defensive coordinators have film on you, they could figure you out. But Lamar Jackson keeps improving at such a rate that the league cannot catch up with him. It's like the defenses are regressing against him. He's putting up more and more gaudy numbers with each and every week. You know, it's not like Patrick Mahomes who came on his first three games, which is lighting the world on fire. Lamar has kind of grown into this position from last year to this year, and he's getting better so quickly they can't figure him out.
Well, it's, you know, here's just some of the numbers. Again, 5 touchdown passes, 95 yards rushing. The first player to throw 5 passing touchdowns on his Monday Night Football debut. First player in NFL history of 4 passing touchdowns and 50 rushing yards in consecutive games. Youngest at 22 player in NFL history with multiple 5 passing touchdown games. Becomes the first Raven to post multiple 5 passing touchdown games. 95 rushing yards, second most of a 5 pass touchdown game in the Super Bowl era. Cam Newton back in 2015 at 100 yards rushing. First player in NFL history of 3,000 yards passing and 15 yards rushing in the last 2 years. And the third quarterback in Super Bowl era to win 7 straight starts before turning 23. And that was Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
So just looking up their height and weight, this is from the combine because the teams will lie about how tall or how much they weigh. Michael Vick was 6 foot tall, 210 pounds.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, 6 foot 2, 216 pounds. So maybe a little thinner?
Yeah.
I mean, built different, obviously.
He looks thicker now.
Again, this was from the combine.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You're right, because he was lanky. He was kind of a string beanish a little bit at Louisville.
But. And at the combine, these guys aren't at a playing weight because they're trying to run the fastest 40 speed, right. Especially a guy like Lamar Jackson, where that can really add to his draft stock. He's going to be at a light weight to try to move at his quickest.
Yeah. Christmas Chronicles just kind of reiterate what I was saying. It's my understanding that the Ravens redid entire offensive system based on Jackson's skill set, whereas Atlanta asked Vic to fit into their system. Good luck changing that tire while going 100 miles per hour versus pulling over doing so. Well, that's what I was saying. When Roman and Harbaugh were on the same page, and they did redesign the whole offense for Lamar Jackson, they just said, this is what we're going to do.
And they told us, they telegraphed it in the offseason. They said, we're going to do something that's never been done before. And we're like, yeah,
kind of
right.
Like LSU. And no, honestly, you know, with the spread offense that they've run, a lot of people didn't think they would be able to do it.
Yeah. But with a quarterback like Lamar, your window is smaller. You can't do what he's doing 7-8 years in the league.
7-8 years. I'm worried about the next five. I'm worried about this weekend against
San
Francisco.
It's where I talk about, and I've said this throughout the year with Lamar Jackson, do you want greatness for five, or do you want to try to turn him into something that you might be able to stretch out to 10 years? I'll take the 5 years of greatness, to be honest with you.
I go back to Cam. That's kind of what's happening.
Do you want the 15-1 MVP Cam?
Right.
Or do you want the Cam that maybe he's going to throw his way to 9-10 wins, but never going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender when he's throwing the ball.
15-1.
15, yeah, and then what happened?
That's right. But you got there. I know. You got to take your shot.
Yeah, they did take their shot. Now, it's a fascinating game. Unfortunately, it's a 1 o'clock game. Ravens hosting San Francisco this Sunday.
That's an outrage.
In a slew of 1 o'clock. Well, it's an outrage
if you want to watch it.
Most of the country is going to see it, but here you're going to get Tampa Bay and Jacksonville.
There you go.
That's a game on Fox because the Baltimore-San Francisco game is a Fox game, too, because San Fran is the road team.
Super Bowl preview.
and on CBS, you're also going to get the Miami game is not being televised locally, as far as I know, here in this market. And that's a Philadelphia at Miami. That's a Fox game as well. And I checked them.
Really? We're not carrying a Philly game in this market?
Nope.
That's surprising.
So what's the lineup? What are they?
They got, let me look real quick. Let me see if I can remember. It's definitely Tampa Bay and my Xfinity. I think they are, you know what I saw? Brown Steelers. That's what I saw in Xfinity. Brown Steelers, Chris.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's not even a rematch because everybody's been suspended or benched.
But that's a CBS game. So, yeah, so Brown Steelers
is what we get.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, the other game is...
It's a better game. I mean, Browns Steelers or Dolphins Eagles?
Well, Browns Steelers because of the drama, maybe, but...
But there's no drama. Nobody's playing. That was involved in the drama.
Yeah. Duck is.
Duck is playing. And I was thinking about that. I was like, are they... Let's say it was a 50-50 decision on Mason Rudolph or their third stringer, Duck, and they're like, let's not put Mason in the lineup against the Browns. Or was Mason that bad this past weekend that this was an easy decision? I don't have an answer to that.
But I mean, we got 3 4 o'clock games on Sunday, only three. You got Rams at Cardinals, Chargers at Broncos, and Raiders at the Chiefs.
That's a decent game.
Yeah, that's three games.
I think after what I saw the Raiders do against the Jets this weekend, I don't know. I was all ready to proclaim the Raiders a playoff team, and now I don't know.
But you got Bucks Jaguars too. Again, the road team. That's the Fox game. They get that. 49ers Ravens, Eagles Dolphins, Jets Bengals, Titans Colts, Packers at Giants, Redskins Panthers, and Browns Steelers. And don't forget you have the three Thanksgiving Day games as well. So. But that's the game they chose down here to show is Brown Steelers. That's on CBS.
The three Thanksgiving games are looking like duds now.
They'd have to.
Well, Dallas Buffalo.
It's not going to be a pretty game.
No, you're right. That's Zeke touching the ball 25 times.
Can Dallas beat a winning team? That's going to be a big factor.
Did they beat one winning team this year, or have they beat any?
They haven't beat anybody. Okay.
There are a bunch of stories out. In fact, Ed Werder is reporting today that, no, the Cowboys will not make a coaching change before the Thanksgiving Day. Well, great. Breaking news. Who would do that? Nobody would fire a coach on a 4-day work week. If you're going to fire them and they stink on Thursday, you fire them on Thursday night. Happy Thanksgiving. then you got 10 days to roll into your new regime.
Well, let me tell you why they should have rethought that right after. Because you've seen coaches fired, special teams coaches, coordinators, offensive coordinator fired. Maybe they should have. Here's why. Cowboys entered Monday ranked 31st in special teams efficiency. Okay? Their efficiency value, which is scaled 0 to 100, is 35.3, and that would be the team's worst value on special teams in a season since the stat first started being tracked in 2006. Since week four, the Cowboys are dead last in special teams efficiency. They are dead last in expected points added on special teams in that span, costing them over 3 points more than any other team. And again, the epitome came on Sunday, a blocked punt, a missed field goal from 46 yards off the upright, which in that weather, you can understand it, I guess. The Cowboys muffed two kickoffs and had another where there was a miscommunication between the returners that resulted in a live ball being recovered by Dallas at their own 11. And they were called for delay of game and illegal formation on consecutive plays while trying to punt in the third. And the Pats got the ball at their own 38-yard line off a fair catch on a drive that resulted in a field goal.
Well, this doesn't excuse any of that. And, of course, Jerry Jones hinted at that. There's no coordination between offense, defense, and special teams. That's the head coach. The NFL, we were talking yesterday, they never admit mistakes. They did admit that the tripping calls in that game were wrong.
Yeah.
Great. I'm sure the Cowboys feel better about it.
They
now
could have admitted it after. And they've done this several times this year and last year. They wait. 2 days later, and then they say, oh, well. Yes.
But these idiot referees, they got it. I mean, they're costing people's jobs, and that's what the coaches will tell you. Mm-hmm. These refs are costing us jobs. The jobs come down to a game here and a game there.
Yeah. It should cost the referees their jobs.
Well, it should, but it's costing the coaches jobs.
Well, here's what I got. I mean, the ref in that game, I punched it up. Scott Novak was the ref in the Patriot Cowboy
game. Had Jason
game.
Garrett been able to beat the Patriots, he could have been coached for
but
another 10 years.
You get in this vicious cycle if you continue to fire on-field officials because you need them to develop at some point. Now,
you got to suspend them at least, though. They do. They have the ranking system.
You've got to do something other than, hey, you're not going to call any playoff games. That can't be the punishment. It's got to be something more.
And I don't know who was responsible for all the tripping. I don't know. The referee was Scott Novak. Walt Coleman IV was the line judge. Terrence Miles was the back judge. The umpire was Ramon George.
Yeah.
Field judge was Mike Weatherford. And the replay official upstairs is Ernie Franz.
Wow.
So you got to thank Ramon George, the umpire, the referee, Scott Novak. They have to be the main culprits there, or the field judge, Mike Weatherford. I don't know exactly who's supposed to make those calls. I mean, but they were bad. One of them was real bad, obviously.
Dopey checking in, and he may be right about this. I'm only one game at a time kind of guy. The Cowboys may play again next Thursday. They may actually only have a week off. If they fire their coaches, they may just have a week to get ready, maybe 10 days after the next. I think they did that last year, too. I think they played at Thanksgiving and then had the next Thursday night football
game. This was the following Thursday after Thanksgiving was the Saints-Cowboys game last year.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, was that the 10-9 game?
10-13, yeah, yeah.
It was ridiculously low scoring.
Well, that's when the Saints offense started to nosedive a little bit towards the end of the year.
A bit of a dip, a bit of a cliff for one Drew Brees. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
All right, a lot of reaction. We've talked about last night's game. Love to hear your reaction on Lamar Jackson and just how amazing the Ravens are all of a sudden. At 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Don't forget, Jerry Jones still doubling down on his anger at his coaches. Vegas odds are out and updated for who the next coach for the Cowboys will be. And the U with a statement about Manny Diaz, all that coming up. Don't forget, Bucks and Jaguars noon on Sunday here on 99.3 ESPN, brought to you by Towboat US and 888-SEAN-KING. We are just warming up. It's a hump day Tuesday. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for joining us. It's Tuesday, and with this particular week, it's a hump day Tuesday, 3-day work week. Obviously, we'll be gone Thursday and Friday. And a good tune, by the way. Don't forget, coming up on the show later, we've got Red Alert Tuesday. We've got Master Pete Theater.
Hello.
We've got another OJ. And Matt Elliott, former All-American center at Michigan. Going to talk a little Michigan-Ohio State with us at 4:30.
And your childhood chum.
Yeah, we were friends, neighbors. He lived a block away.
Schoolmates.
It's all good.
Awesome.
Yep.
How about this stat? College football year-to-year viewership growth decline with 1 week to go.
Why?
No, I'm just saying. I'm going to give you the
networks. No, I'm wondering why. I probably watch more football this year than I have in my entire life.
Well, there are only two networks that had went down. CBS was plus 39%. Fox was plus 17%. ABC was plus 3%.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN minus 1%. And I'll give my theory on that.
Okay.
And NBC, the Notre Dame Broadcasting Company,
yes,
minus 37%. Minus 30. Now, the reason ESPN is because if they're lumping in their entire network from ESPNU to ESPN News,
yes,
to all the games that they show, of course it's going to be down 1% because no one is watching Ball State Akron. You know,
I disagree. I've got a great theory here.
Okay.
Hit me.
Fox did this. Fox moved their primetime game, their best game mm-hmm. every week. They moved it out of the 7:30, 8 o'clock slot where they were going up against the ABC game of the week.
Yep.
They moved it to noon. I would think that their numbers in that from that noon to 3 window are going to be the best of any network. CBS's at 3:30 will be the best of any network. And ABC, ESPN is still probably holding down whatever game's being played at night. But I think that Fox moving their big game of the week to noon was a great move for them. I think Fox's broadcast has gotten a lot better this year.
No,
well,
I agree.
They're in studio. But also, listen, I told you, I don't watch studio shows. I don't need five guys around a table to tell me what I am going to watch or did watch. But I will say this. My eyeballs have been upon the Fox pregame show on college football more than it has on game day this year just because, I don't know, my schedule, maybe mm-hmm. the games I'm watching. I'm not a fan of Urban Meyer, but I think I've seen him every Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm watching.
It's you're getting ready for their big game. They're putting Ohio State and Penn State on at noon instead of going up against, what was the big ABC game
but
of the week last weekend?
But that's always on at noon, though. Ohio State, Penn State. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan is always on at noon.
No, Ohio State, Michigan is.
Yeah.
But Ohio State, Penn State last year that had been on at night. And they had been putting their best games of the week in primetime, which makes logical sense.
Right.
But nobody owned that noon window.
Yeah.
They're putting crap Big Ten and SEC games on ESPN Network.
Indiana football at noon.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're doing at noon. It's kind of
it's my warm up.
Well, Fox figured out there's a little hole here. Let's at least own one of the three viewing windows on Saturday.
Well, Fox has also had some good games on at night, too. I mean, they're 7:30 games. They've had some good ones.
They've had some, but
their
branding this year was the biggest game of the weekend that Fox is carrying is on at noon. Yeah. Maybe there's one game here or there where you can argue with me on. I'm not going to nitpick it. But on the whole this year, they've really tried to own that noon window. And if you look at their studio show, which is actually on site most weeks, it goes up until 12:05.
Yeah.
So when College Game Day is off on ESPN, which I had a buddy working for the Fox Network on the college football pregame show, they were watching the ESPN pregame show in the studio.
Yeah.
They were doing that. So they at least they're getting viewers familiar 5 minutes at a time with their characters, with Reggie Bush, with Matt Leiner, with Urban Meyer. I think it's been a great job by Fox.
No, it has. But I want to know, I'm not sure when this is broken down here, CBS, Fox, ABC, ESPN, NBC. I don't know if it means just ESPN, regular ESPN, or it includes their entire platform. Because, of course, if it includes the entire platform, I think it gets a little bit skewed. Because that network is televising, you know, 15 games a day throughout their entire platform between ESPN News, ESPNU, ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC. It's like 12 games a day, and you know, maybe three are worth watching.
And I've been all over the map this year. I mean, I've been my remote control's gotten a good workout. I've watched a lot of football this year.
You're learning.
It's
called last.
Well, you know, since
get
I got
seven
this,
games going,
this new remote that I can talk to has really been helpful for my game.
Well, and last year you also had an undefeated Notre Dame, which would explain why their numbers go down. You lose week two or week three to Georgia.
Number three.
Really early in the season, the Notre Dame diehard is going to still show up to watch their team no matter what network, but you kind of lose maybe the more casual fan when they lose so early in the season.
Let me say this. With all the football I have watched this year, I can't remember the last time. Now, the Michigan game doesn't count, but I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched a quote-unquote Notre Dame game on NBC. Just not that interesting.
Was that that was on ESPN,
and
wasn't it?
And I think the Michigan game was on another network.
ABC, because it was at Michigan.
But I'm just saying, it's not a big deal for Notre Dame to have their have a block on Saturday afternoon on NBC. It's just a non-factor anymore.
And last week, they were on a 2:30 against Boston College, and my wife went to BC. I mean, I flipped it on. It was a blowout. I mean, it was okay for the first quarter, but I mean, that's like my fourth game on my seven games I have booked up.
Notre Dame also had a horrendous home schedule this year. They played New Mexico, Virginia, Bowling Green, USC, Navy. Virginia Tech, Navy, and Boston College at home this year.
Yeah.
They had a bad, they didn't have a network friendly, and USC was down.
By the way, Bob Davey stepping down from New Mexico. Is it New Mexico or New Mexico State? Which one played Notre Dame?
New Mexico.
He's stepping down at the end of the
year. Yeah, New Mexico. And
he didn't coach against Notre Dame. He was sick or ill or something. He missed that game.
Coach at UNLV is being terminated, not renewed or whatever. Yeah. They got him from high school.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They got their college coach straight from high school.
That's like what Notre Dame did.
Notre Dame did that once upon a time.
Did they?
Oh, my God, it was awful.
It wasn't.
Well, I guess
it was an era.
Faust.
Was it Faust? Yeah, Jerry Faust came from a Catholic high school in Ohio.
And then they beat, was Flutie quarterback? It was a sophomore year. They beat BC at the Liberty Bowl in a mini blizzard. It was the ugliest thing ever. I think it was 16-15.
Yeah.
And they were 6-6, and they won the bowl game.
By the way, you being a big fan of the U, Miami now has a statement on Manny Diaz. They say, regardless of how the season ends, he will be back next year.
Yeah, and he should
probably
be
the right move.
He should be. It really was disheartening to see them just not be prepared for FIU. They don't have the luxury. Most teams don't, to take anybody for granted. But especially their crosstown rivals.
The crosstown rival, quote-unquote, from Associated Press.
Facetiously.
They should never be held in the same sentence except when they play occasionally on Saturday. Apparently, Clay Helton has the support of the new USC AD and president, which is code for he'll be fired in a couple weeks.
Oh, God.
Right after the UCLA game, probably.
Well, will they have a bowl game? USC?
Yeah,
they will, right?
Coaches have been fired before their bowl games.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah, that could happen.
Oh, 8-4?
Yeah. They've actually been a little bit of a surprise in the second half of the season as far as the Pac-12 is considered. In fact, there was even a scenario where they could play in the championship if things bounced their way. But
yeah, their best win was Utah. Yeah.
Utah.
By far, their best win was Utah.
Right.
Their next best win probably...
Well, they just beat UCLA, their rival, so...
That might
they close with Notre Dame, right? They got Notre Dame?
They're done.
They're not playing anymore. Did they play Notre Dame?
Who? Yeah, they play Notre Dame. They lost 30-27.
So Southern Cal finishes a week before anybody else? They're done?
They're done.
Like, this is their bye week?
This is their bye week. They're done. They played UCLA last week. They won 52-35.
Yep. Yeah.
They won their final three games.
Huh. Who knew?
But they played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ranked teams this year. They went 2-3. The two wins were against Utah, which is a good win, and then against Stanford. They were ranked 23 at the time. It was week 2. Stanford's been terrible this year.
Right.
Yep.
We have a list of Greg Schiano's demands for the Rutgers job, which he is no longer going to take. $4 million a year, $25 million guarantee on day one. A private jet at his use of at all
what,
times.
To recruit?
Yeah, well, allegedly, yeah. And then he wanted to rebuild the whole state of New Jersey, those infrastructure and facilities and all this. He wanted an 8-year deal. They offered 6, so that blew up. And now they're trying to get another assistant coach whose name escapes me on the Ohio State staff. But that's going to turn into a debacle that nobody will want to take. It's going to be a horrible job now. Shadow was the only guy that was going to take it. I mean, somebody will take it, but it's going to be a disastrous situation.
An up-and-coming coach, if you're offered a head coaching job, you're going to take it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to stay there long.
No. Do you want that job? Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Well, would you rather be second in command at a pretty good to a good team
yeah.
and wait it out?
I mean,
but on the other hand, Chris, you know, head coaching jobs, It's not like they're a dime a dozen. I mean, they come along, but I mean, at some point, you got to build your resume.
And is Greg Schiano untouchable? Like, nobody wants him?
Yeah, but you look at a guy like a Kirby Smart or even a Will Muschamp. They built their resumes as coordinators.
With the big boys.
With the big boys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that's the best way to do it, I think.
You see the turnover.
That's what I mean. So one of those coordinators in the SEC goes to be a coach at Rutgers, and then even if they get the program to 500, that is a miracle.
Oh. Well, so who did it at Maryland last year? Left Alabama to go?
Loxley. Mike Loxley.
I mean, do you do that? Mm. I questioned that at the time.
Well, yeah, but look at them now this year. They have underachieved.
And I didn't know, but there are a lot of ties between Mike Loxley and Maryland.
Yeah.
A lot of ties between there. Like, that's the job he wants.
Yeah.
If you're Maryland and you have a legitimate coach saying, that's the job I want, figure out a way to get him into town.
That's true.
I mean, they, you know.
But to Pete's question, is it better to go get head for the average coach? Is it better to go get head coaching experience somewhere where you're probably not going to be successful? Or do you keep riding it out with a big boy program if you're there as a coordinator? I mean, I don't know. The coaches have to make this decision every year. There's no doubt about it.
I just know you see young guys leap at the opportunity and maybe they're not ready for it. Like, if you're Charlie Strong, you should have.
He's had his chance.
But no, I'm saying, but when he was at Louisville, right?
Right.
He had a good thing going there at Louisville.
He was at Texas before then and couldn't get it going.
Yeah.
And they only gave him 2 years, but though.
They only gave him 2 years, and that's what I'm saying. Like, just sit back and wait, because you know if you're going to go into a bad spot like Texas in a rebuild, they're not giving you the time that you need.
Right.
They're not.
You look at Maryland's resume this year. Okay, they beat Howard opening day, 79-0, big deal. Then Syracuse was ranked 21 at the time. Remember, they blasted them 63-20. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, but, I mean, now we know Syracuse is, really did not have had a bad year. They got blown out by Louisville last week, too. They lose at Temple, which is probably one of the best teams they played all year, 20-17. They get killed by Penn State, 59-0. They beat Rutgers, big deal, 48-7. Rest of them, they get killed by Purdue, 40-14. The Hoosiers beat them, 34-28. They get clobbered by Minnesota by 42. They get clobbered by Michigan by 31. They get clobbered by Ohio State by 59. And they get clobbered against Nebraska by 47. That team sucks.
Oh, they're terrible, but they also play in the best division in all of college football, the Big Ten
East. Humiliated. Not losing. They're getting creamed. There's no chance.
Trust the process, Pete. Trust the process.
Okay.
It's building.
Yeah, okay.
Gotta go out and recruit. I don't know. Just said that.
The only team worse than them is Rutgers. I mean, Northwestern's 0-8, too, but I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's
a bad team.
It's pretty rough. Rutgers,
they should have a Super Bowl between Maryland, Rutgers, UMass this year.
Arkansas in there? Arkansas would win that.
Yeah, let's go for Arkansas. Let's go with a Final Four all-time bad.
Maybe a Vandy?
Yeah, no, maybe. Akron.
Oh, Akron's terrible this year.
Well, let's stay bottom Final Four, bottom for Power Fives.
For Power Fives?
Well, Northwestern might be in there, too. Well, how about in the ACC?
Syracuse has to be on this list, right?
Yep.
Are they that bottom? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Syracuse. Well, 1-6 in the conference.
That's 4-7. Georgia Tech beat Miami.
See, I don't think you could put Syracuse in the bottom. I mean, they're not. Not Rutgers and Maryland.
Kansas. Kansas is 1-7, 3-8.
Yeah, they are.
You think they are?
Yeah, I do think they are.
I think Syracuse is terrible.
All right.
You look at their games.
4-7 this year. Their one win in the ACC came via Duke.
Who are their other three wins?
But they won 49-6 against
Liberty.
Duke.
See, I don't think they're in the same bad category as Rutgers.
They beat Liberty, Western Michigan, and Holy Cross, which doesn't really count, and Duke.
Yeah.
They got killed by Louisville. They got killed. Boston College killed them.
Then their AD's better, smarter for scheduling.
Beat by Florida State. Beat by Pitt. Beat by NC State. That's a bad NC State team.
No, I think Arkansas deserves to be on this list. 0-8 in the SEC. 2-9 overall with one of those losses coming to San Jose State.
San Jose State this year actually is not that bad. They're right at the top of their top of their conference, if I'm not mistaken. Close to it. No, they're not. I'm sorry.
No, they're 4-7, 5th in the Mountain West.
They're 1-6. But still, 4 wins for that team?
All right. Well, we're running a little late. We'll continue to ponder that. Don't forget, boys and girls, on Monday, December 2nd. Now, think this through.
It's my mom's birthday.
We're here. Well, happy birthday, Mom. We are here today and tomorrow. We're off Thursday and Friday for the holiday. We'll come back Monday the 2nd. We will announce further details regarding our Sheeman and Shepherd Texter Party, which we have already announced will be December 21st. So we'll give you about a three-week heads up as to the location and all that. We'll get
exclusive
the details Monday.
Guest list for this thing.
Yeah.
Very exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. We'll tell you how the whole thing works. Sound Street coming up next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street takes us back to last time, Monday Night Football, and the Ravens beat down over the Rams. Mark Ingram very impressed with Lamar Jackson. He should be MVP.
Come see me, LJ, MVP. If you got a problem, come see me. Just run that back from last week. That's all I'm going to say. Man, people been trying me, but they can't validate their opinions. So, LJ for MVP.
Russell Wilson?
I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I'll get the numbers next hour. I mean, they're close. Lamar's are better, but, I mean, stop it with this. I mean, it's all talking about the last 3 weeks as he's MVP, him and Russell. Now he's ahead of Russell.
All right. Lamar Jackson himself says, I'm not shooting for the MVP. I want a Super Bowl ring.
I'm trying to win the Super Bowl, and we taking the game at a time. I'm not worried about MVP, you know. If it come, it come. I'll be satisfied, but I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. That's a team award, and that's what I want.
Yeah. Y'all like that, saying all the right words. John Harbaugh says there's something special brewing here, but they haven't won squat yet.
You know, I think this is a unique group of guys. They really are close. You know, they really do love one another. They have a certain belief, I think, in one another and things greater than that. They have a faith, they trust, and they work, you know, and they go to the next play, you know, and that, they keep it simple that way. So just like you said, I think there is something special here, but you know what? There's nobody crowned in November, you know, so we have a lot of work to do.
Meanwhile, on the other side, here's Sean McVay, who used to be the coaching boy wonder last year. Now, a lot of mediocrity. He has confidence, though, his Rams will not spiral out of control.
Well, I trust that we have the right guys in that locker room, guys that are mentally tough, that understand that, hey, whatever we did tonight, all right, has nothing to do with what we're going to do moving forward unless we allow it to. And that's the mindset that we've got to have as coaches, as players, to a man. You know, you look, everybody, we owe it to each other to do better. And I feel as responsible as anybody. And I certainly have to do a better job. But the only way I know how to do that is by the way that you work throughout the week, the way that you consistently bring a consistent demeanor of urgency, but also, hey, let's be solution-oriented in the way we move forward. Can't wait to look at this tape, fix it, and then we get ready for the Arizona Cardinals next week.
Yeah, and after that, they're home against Seattle, then at Dallas and at San Fran, and then close out against Arizona.
Speaking of Dallas, Jason Garrett is hearing the rumblings from Jerry Jones about the coaching situation, and he's not bothered.
Jerry was pretty critical of the coaching staff and the things that happened in the game. Do you ever think sometimes when he says those things that can undercut messages that you guys have for players?
Again, we just got to focus on coaching as well as we can and playing as well as we can. And there certainly were some things in the game that we have to get better at, and we're going to work on that as a staff and as a football team. But again, our eyes are forward on Buffalo.
You meet with Jerry all the time. Have you talked with him since last night's game?
I have not. You know, typically we have a personnel meeting on the Monday after the game, but we haven't traditionally done that when we have the short weeks. We just get our eyes forward.
Does it make it any more difficult to focus when you have kind of that running commentary coming from him?
Not really. Yeah. Again, we just have to focus on what we need to do as players and coaches as a football team to get ready for the next challenge.
Good
luck. And this is why Jerry Jones, I mean, he owns the team, do whatever he wants, but what he did was, to me, a colossal mistake. It's just stupid to call out your coach like that in public. Do it behind closed doors.
I agree. But when we come back, I'll have the Vegas odds as to who the next coach in Dallas will be. That should be fun to look
at. And I have the most profitable teams in the NFL and the least profitable four on each side for this year so far.
All right. And shout out to your boy Philly Kevin, who just
Philly Kevin came through, got a nice meatball
sandwich
sub, beautiful. And on the bag is a very nice holiday message he sent me.
Season's greetings.
Close to Pete. Pats suck. 41-33. Go Eagles.
How about that?
Thanks, Kev. Great stuff. I appreciate it. It
smells delightful.
It is.
All right. And then it's the 3 o'clock hour on a Tuesday. That also means we have Red Alert Tuesday.
Uh-oh.
And Master Pete Theater. Lots to do. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.